Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, given that so many of us are wearing masks in public, it's not always that easy to recognise people we know. But for some, that condition is permanent. Face blindness is obviously a debilitating condition. Brad Duchesne from Dartmouth University joins us now on News Talk. Good afternoon, Brad.
Hi, good morning.
How do you define face blindness?
Well, so people with face blindness have a tough time recognizing familiar people around them. So, you know, we all maybe once in a while don't recognize somebody that we know pretty well, but people with face recognition problems, it's a daily experience for them.
And would this include everyone, their children, their partners, their family?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, there are some faces that sometimes they can come to know. So if they, you know, have looked at their partner for 10 years or something, they're going to do fairly well with that person. But they talk about having trouble sometimes recognizing themselves in photos.
And with people with this condition, do they resort to various strategies to kind of to get through their day?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we all use other sorts of information other than the face to recognize people, but people with face blindness have to rely on it. So they'll rely on the hair, people's voices, people's body shapes. And one thing that's really important for them is where a person is. So they might do well at recognizing somebody in an office with 10 people, but if they run into that same person at the grocery store when it could be anybody, they're going to have a really tough time.
And presumed as well, if they get a haircut or suddenly start wearing glasses, that can completely throw them.
Yeah, I've heard from a number of people who talked about when they were children and one of their parents got a haircut or the father shaved off the beard, and it took several days for the child to sort of get used to this new person.
Now, is it a condition? Is it caused by, what causes it? Or are there multiple causes?
Well, probably multiple causes. So in the back of our brain, in our occipital and temporal lobes, we've got some areas that are specialized for face processing. So there's this network of areas that talk to one another. And if those areas aren't functioning properly, then you have face blindness. And that can either be due to problems with the way those areas developed, or else damage that happens later in life, say, due to a stroke.
And does it apply to other things as well, or just faces?
So that depends on the particular person. So some people with face blindness also might have trouble, say, finding a car in a car park. Others, though, have problems that's just limited to face processing. And so when we see that somebody has problems with faces and something else, that's probably due to the fact that the brain mechanisms are important for, say, car recognition are close to those that are important for face processing.
Yeah, because I wonder, is there something specifically complicated about recognizing a face?
There is, absolutely. Faces, you know, we're really good with face processing, but, you know, if you think about them, they're all very similar to one another. Eyes, nose, mouth, all in the exact same alignment. And so you really need to have really subtle visual recognition to discriminate between different people's faces.
And I suppose you could see how the same would apply to cars, given so many cars are similar to each other. Is this and so it's a condition that is on a scale? Is it? Can you have mild face recognition problems and then severe ones?
Yeah. So you can think about face processing as a spectrum of ability. So some people on the low end, we call them prosopagnosic. There are other people who are extremely good with it, who are called super recognizers. And say, London's Metropolitan Police have been making use of super recognizers. And then there's everybody else somewhere in the middle. So there's no clear cutoff between having face recognition problems and not having them.
So a super recognizer, it has a good memory for faces. Is that what that would be?
Yeah, they've got a good memory. They also have good perception of faces. Sort of everything's working really well. And so they tell amazing stories where, you know, they run into somebody they haven't seen for 20 years and they didn't know very well. And they remember where they knew that person from before.
Right. Okay. That's interesting. Because, yeah. I mean, I have a thing where I would mostly recognize faces, but often I go, where the hell do I know you from? I'm recognizing the face, but just nothing else about it.
Yeah, so the supers seem to be good with both. They know that it's a face they've seen before, and they can usually bring up sort of where they knew that person from.
Right, okay. That's quite interesting. And does this have, say, ramifications then when witnesses in court cases and that kind of thing?
Yeah, that's a great point. So I've been trying to encourage courts, anytime I get an opportunity, that they should really be measuring how good somebody's face recognition is if that person's giving eyewitness testimony. If somebody's got really bad face recognition, well, you need to put a little less stock in their testimony.
Is there any treatment for it?
There are some labs are trying to work on some treatments, but they haven't been all that successful. The treatments have involved lots of practice in making face judgments, but the effects have been pretty modest.
Thanks so much for speaking with us today. That's Brad Duchesne there. He's a professor of psychological and brain sciences at Dartmouth University.
Moncrief on News Talk.